Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for NFL Week 5 action is Sean Lockhart, sports betting consultant. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealPapaBear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. It's a little different than Week 1. We have a good idea of who these teams are now, so ready to jam with you for sure.
Yes, I'm so excited because there's a lot we're going to get to. But first, let's do a quick recap of Week 4. And these stats come from my man, Jason Logan. You can follow him on Twitter at CoversJLo. So in Week 4, favorites 7-7-1 against the spread. Home favorites just 3-6 ATS. Looking at the totals, 7-7-1 for the over and unders. But looking on the season, favorites, just 32-30-1, not much edge there. Home favorites, 20-23 against the spread, not a big edge there. Favorites of 6 points or more, 15-10-1 against the spread. This is a number that we looked at last week as well. And then looking at the total, and this is the huge narrative so far of the season, 36-26-1 to the over. So while last week saw it sort of down the middle, over the season so far, we've seen overs hits. And here's a stat from John Ewing that I really liked. The totals have increased every single week of the season. Week 1, 45.5 points. Week 2, 46.1. Week 3, 48.2. Week 4, 49.6. And this week, the average total for Week 5, 50.4 points. Holy smokes, Batman. So Sean, I'm curious your thoughts on the run of overs that we're seeing, because certainly the no fans in the stands is making this significantly easier for teams, but I think specifically road teams to execute, because now they don't have to deal with crowd noise.
The facts are there, right there in front of your eyes. You just went over each week, the bookmakers are increasing the odds. So they see it as well. And I do think, as you said, it has to do with there's minimal fans in the stands. But how can you capitalize on that? Because it's 50.4, you said, is the average this week, which is just legendarily high. And I am one, in my mind, I would look at maybe for some unders this week. I really would. I'd find some good defenses, maybe not those explosive offenses that you're looking at, but I'd find some numbers to take an under, because this is getting out of control. And as you said, it's the fans, but it's also the offense. They want offense. A lot of these penalties, it favors the offense. The game favors the offense nowadays. You can't crush the quarterback. You can't hit anybody anymore. But this totals are getting way too high. I like some unders this week.
And I think one of the main things has been a lack of holding penalties. And what they said is one of the reasons was they are saying only call clear and obvious holding penalties, not ticky-tack. So we're seeing this gigantic number of non-holding calls. Well, why does this matter? Because drives can continue to get extended, because you can just envision the Raiders. And I believe they did something of this ilk. Boom, 60-yard touchdown pass. Everybody's going nuts. And then they're like, holding on the offense. 10-yard penalty, repeat second down. And you're like, oh, my God, what just happened? And it actually happened to them against the Bills. I don't know if it was a holding penalty, but I was like, that's very appropriate for the Raiders, even though I looked back and the Raiders aren't really that penalized, because I was going to tweet about it. But I was like, someone's going to look and say, Rob, they're not one of the most penalized teams. It's more of a brand thing. But that's a real big thing, because now drives can extend significantly longer. So if you start adding this on top of home field and the lack of the fans, now you can see why these totals are going up. And here's some nuggets for you. The Saints, Bills, and Raiders are all 4-0 to the over on the season. But the Cardinals are the only team to have all four games go under. What are your thoughts on sort of those teams? Because I don't think any of us would have thought that the Cardinals are an under team.
It's incredible to see the Cardinals as an under team, but they were missing some defenders last week when they got crushed by the Panthers, so they get their cornerback back. But if I look at that Cardinals team going forward, I would bet a lot of overs. I think Kyler Murray is getting comfortable with the offense and just his speed as well. You're going to get a lot of points from that Cardinals offense, and the way the defense, I'd continue them to see them trending over. And you mentioned all those teams that were going over. I can't back an under probably with those teams playing, just looking at those offensive efficiency numbers. But one team I wouldn't look at it under is the Colts. I love that Colts defense. One of the most – it's an underrated defense, really. You don't really think – when you think of the Colts, you always think of an offense. But I came on week one, and we missed that under against the Jaguars by a couple points. But I think the Colts have gone under every other single game. This week they get the Browns, who also they're going to be sans Chubb. They had a lot of trick plays against the Cowboys. The Cowboys' defense is Swiss cheese. I kind of am looking at that Colts-Browns under as something that's very intriguing to me this week.
So you mentioned earlier that you would think about sprinkling in some unders. And I want to talk about regression to the mean because it's something that I believe in and that I've preached on the podcast over the last year. And essentially what it means is, hey, over the course of time, there are going to be outliers, but things traditionally go back to what the average is. And right now we're seeing these lines that are being inflated. And remember, we talk about how valuable it is to get a half point, but if we look from week one to week five, we're seeing an increase of almost 5 points on the total. So the contrarian in me would say, well, wait a second. Vegas is not operating to give away free money. You know, there is a 3-13 to the under somewhere along in the lines. And you're like, how in the world did that happen? Well, it happened because these totals are so high, and it doesn't mean a total of 57 is going to go at 31. It means that 57, it may only go to 54 in the real game. And you're like, oh man, we were so close. Well, yeah, guess what? That number continues to slowly creep up. And think about the number of times that we've watched games. And certainly I know in college, this really happens where you're like, how did they know this was going to land on 55?
I'm right there with you. It's always the Vegas knows narrative. But generally, you look at the books at the end of the year, over-unders are close to 50% hitting. Favorites underdogs, close to 50%. You look at a 10-year sample size, it's close to 50%. So I'm right there with you. Regression towards the mean, maybe back some unders this week. That's what I'm saying. I think that would be a little sharper of a play.
So let's do a quick recap on the picks last week. And baby, we were hot, 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 going 3-0. The Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the week hit again for us to go 4-0 on the season. We had the Ravens, Rams, Chiefs, and Seahawks, a four-teamer that paid out in plus money. That was relatively an easy win. The Seahawks were in control the entire time. Late sweat a little bit, but no real worries there. Pick a loser. We had Washington plus 13 as our pick a loser. Ravens win by 14 once again. No real sweat there. The score was close, but I never felt uncomfortable about it. And our get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week was the Chargers plus 7.5. And I even mentioned specifically, I found a line where I got the hook. And guess what? The Bucs won by 7. And I was extremely comfortable the entire time, except for the final 2 minutes, because the Chargers were winning almost the majority of the game until they weren't. And Herbert throws the interception. And you're like, oh no, please just run this clock out and not give me that garbage field goal because there's 10 seconds left and it's fourth down. Nonetheless, 3-0 with our picks. So it feels good to be on the winning side of things. And guess what? Why did we create the Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week? Because when the podcast started last year, someone said, Rob, I want you to give me a winning bet. And I was like, all right, let's not make this any harder on ourselves. The goal was let's try and get as close to minus 110 as we can. And boom, we started doing these Moneyline parlays and we got successful at it. But guess what? A win is a win. A lot of people want to be all romantic about how in the world we make our money. But I think one thing we're learning this year is there's a great discrepancy between some of these teams. So if we can just start racking off these wins of money line parlays and get them at minus 110, minus 120, all the way up to plus money, guess what? I'm going to keep doing it because I don't have to be the smartest person in the room to cash a winning ticket.
I like that motto. The first week one, that was one of the winning, the big, I actually started doing it every week now as well, but that was one of the winners I gave away. So I got to put mine out there every week as well. So I got one for you this week too.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. So let's get to NFL week 5. And there's another narrative that I have to preach again, and it's about live betting. Because last week I mentioned, hey, I didn't really like the slate. When I looked at the pregame lines, I didn't see a ton of value one way or another. But fast forward to, let's call it 2 p.m. on Sunday, and my board is lit up everywhere. Because you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing the Saints down double digits. I'm seeing the Bucks down double digits. I'm seeing the Cards down double digits. And wow, two of the three hit. Not all of them did. But what are we looking for? We are looking for value and opportunity. And anybody with half a brain who is watching that Saints-Lions game, when you see the Lions go up 14 to nothing, I was like, Saints plus 6.5? How quickly can I put my entire mortgage on that? And then, of course, the Lions blow the lead, and they're like, and the Detroit Lions are the first team in NFL history to blow six straight games in which they were a double-digit lead. And I'm like, that is something we as sports bettors have knowledge to that an algorithm does not. Because the algorithm's not sitting there saying, oh, but this is the Lions, and they're quick to chalk up leads. And while every bet is not going to win, guess what? I believe our odds of winning are greater than 53% on live betting than it is in the pregame lines. What are your thoughts?
Live betting is an incredible tool. I don't tweet it out because it is those lines disappear and change in seconds with the juice, but I use it all the time. Middles are one of my strongest bets. If you have a bet and you're doing really well at halftime, you can take the other team, try to hit the middle, hit both bets. Do it all the time. But like, as you said, with live bets, I think it's key to us sports bettors. We know what the line was pre-game. And like you said, if some team jumps out way in front of the spread, generally over the course of time, things are going to come closer back to the spread that oddsmakers predicted, that the algorithm predicted before the game started. So you do have an edge there. Like you said, if one team jumps out double-digit lead, you could back the other team. It's going to probably be close at the end, especially in the NFL when some of these guys are playing prevent defense. If you get up two scores, you're trying to kill the clock, running the ball. You're punting the ball, you're playing soft defense, you're letting the other team back in it. That's just the way sports work generally.
And the other one would be the NBA. So last night we saw the Lakers. I believe the line was -7.5 for the Lakers. And boom, Tyler Hero nails a garbage three to all of a sudden change the line. But as I'm watching that game, I'm following the live betting, and I'm always looking in the NBA for a favorite who gets down. So I saw the Lakers get down to -3.5. And while I didn't put action on it, I just put that in my head right there. And guess what? Had I or someone else taken the Lakers -3.5, that shot doesn't matter. And I always think about, you can have the same Lakers bet as someone pregame, except I've got 4 points better. And in the course of a game, you can't expect traditionally that the Lakers are just going to blow out a team every single time. Will it happen? Sure. You're sitting there with -7.5 and they go up and they're up by 20 and you're like, congratulations, you've got a winner. But I believe overwhelmingly, and certainly in the playoffs, we're seeing the swings of these games 10 points one way or another like that. So there is such an opportunity, if you like the Lakers pregame, to say, you know what? I'm going to wait a second because maybe Miami is going to come out a little bit hotter. And maybe that line goes from 7.5 to 5 just in the first 4 minutes when Miami is up 11-2 or 21-16 or something. And guess what? You can still be on the Lakers. You're just sitting there with a better number.
It's a perfect example, especially these championship games or primetime games where the line is super sharp. The Lakers game last night was just the perfect example. I mean, it was right on the number, right to the last shot. And as you said, if you got a better line than the -7, -7.5, you were a winner. So it just proves it right there.
All right, so let's get to NFL Week 5. And I'm going to start with my get comfortable being uncomfortable bet of the week.
You pooped in the refrigerator.
I feel extremely uncomfortable with this. And it seems like every week that I do this, I feel really, really gross when I'm doing this. And I can't believe I'm actually going to say these words. But give me the Houston Texans -6 taking on the Jaguars. So here's my logic in this. One, why the Texans should be laying six makes me want to throw up based on the way that we've seen things. But when I looked at this week's slate, the first number that stood out to me was Houston. Why? Because they just changed coaches. So you've got some sort of change in system. So immediately I'm like, all right, I actually like that as a thing. Number two, I look at who Houston played this year, and they've had a murderer's row so far of teams that they've played. The Jaguars are by far the worst team they've played so far. On top of that, this is a historically bad Jaguars defense. How bad? They just gave up 500 yards to the Bengals and rookie Joe Burrow. On top of that, they are not getting a lot of pressure. They are 31st in the NFL in sacks. And you know what? That is great news for the Texans. And this is a game where I'm also going to potentially look at the over. It's not a play yet for me, but these defenses are very bad. So what makes me uncomfortable? Nothing that I've seen out about the Texans this year makes me believe that they can win by a touchdown. That being said, of games for them to win and win by a touchdown, this is the one. Give me the Texans minus six.
All right. That is uncomfortable. I also have a hugely uncomfortable team, the Falcons. I am definitely going to be backing the Falcons in some way this weekend. And it's incredibly uncomfortable. They haven't fired their coach yet. That is one thing that I think is beneficial. They do still have Quinn and some continuity, and I think the players still do buy in. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl not too long ago. But you look at this line against the Panthers. If the Falcons had – the Falcons have been in every single game. And even last – on Monday night against the Packers, they had a chance to cover. They could have backdoored. They were an inch away from covering maybe a 7-point spread, 7.5-point spread. You got the late number six, no. But the Falcons have been incredibly disappointing. They would have beat the Cowboys if it wasn't for that squib kick. I still have a lot of faith in Matt Ryan. They have tons of talent in their skill players. And Quinn is still a defensive coach. Their defense has been down, but I have confidence they can stop Bridgewater in a divisional game. Give me the Falcons. It's incredibly uncomfortable, but I think you get a win there if you back the Falcons this week. Finally.
By default, anytime you bet on the Falcons, it is uncomfortable. I'm curious your thoughts on the injuries or the ineffectiveness of Julio and Calvin Ridley. Ridley with no catches, fantasy owners. Ugh. And Julio Jones, while being incredible, he is on the other side of his career. I believe he's 30 years old, dealing with injuries right here. How effective are the Falcons if one or both of those aren't in the game and or doing something?
It's something you got to follow. As you say, we're taping it on Wednesday. I am confident they'll play. I think it was more of kind of a fluke thing, but their backup receivers also were catching balls against that Packers defense. I just don't see the Panthers anywhere near as good as the Packers right now. I know they came off that big blowout in the Cardinals game last week, but that's why I think it's a good time to sell on the Panthers. And it's the most buy low spot you can find on the Falcons. It's uncomfortable, but I do like the Falcons to get their first cover or win this week for sure. It's a 2-point spread now, but I might even look at the money line. If it goes to three, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, that number has been going down because I believe the number was 3 or 3.5 when it started. And that is a game that I would actually target for live betting. So let's say Carolina goes up 7-0. All of a sudden, could that flip where Carolina's laying 1, laying 2, where you might be able to get that money line bet on the Falcons, knowing that in theory, they've got an offense that can put up points on the board. So, hey, can we potentially get them getting points or in plus money?
I like that, especially if it goes down to a pick. That's the best live betting a game that is a pick. If your team doesn't score first, boom, you already have a better line right there.
All right, let's get to our pick a loser of the week. And the goal of this bet is to think differently. Instead of picking winners, we want to identify a losing bet.
Oh, what a loser.
I've been on your Arizona Cardinals every single week this year. And watching that game last week, I did not like what I saw whatsoever out of them. And the first thing that I did when preparing for the show this week is I looked at offensive line rankings because I wanted to see where Arizona was, because what I noticed is while Kyler Murray is a good runner, he was always having to run. The pressure they were getting on him was like he had no time whatsoever. And so often it's easy for us to overlook the trenches. The offensive line for a team is so important. But income, well, not income, they take on the Jets, and Arizona's a 7-point favorite. And the Jets, they are 0-4 against the spread on the season. And you know what the cure for that is? Joe Flacco. This might be the last time we get an opportunity to bet against Joe Flacco. So for me, give me the Jets plus 7 as my pick a loser, because I will continue to bet against the Jets as long as I can, as long as they continue to not cover. And I really feel like we're buying low on this Cardinals team, where last 2 weeks they haven't particularly looked good. And winning by a touchdown, not a ton to ask for. Even though I haven't liked what they're looking at or what they're doing, I will back them, hoping for a bounce back.
I like that. The Jets are a dumpster fire. And as I said, the Cardinals were missing Buda Baker last week. He's huge in the defensive secondary. So I like that bet as well. My pick a loser, though, unfortunately, we're going to be going against each other this week, Rob, because my pick a loser was the Texans. And I liked everything you said. You talked, there is even firing their coach, you know, it makes everyone play for their position. You know, starters have to play hard. It's more of, when I look at this Texans team, they haven't covered a game all year, which is usually a team that I'd be looking to maybe buy low on. But I just think it's a dead team. There's a lot of dysfunction. The stat that really jumps out at me is they're giving up 4.9 yards a carry, which you cannot do in today's NFL. And as you said, both defenses are terrible. And I completely agree with that. So I think the over, as you mentioned, is something to look at. But I just don't think any team as bad as the Texans should be favored by close to a touchdown. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I can easily see the Texans being up 10 late, and then the Jaguars going down in a backdoor cover. It's just two teams that have zero defense. So I think it should be closer to a pick. I love getting points there. So my pick a loser would be taking the Texans at any kind of favorite over a field goal.
Makes complete sense. Well, I mean, like, it makes complete sense whatsoever. When I identified things, I was like, let's get real uncomfortable. And I'm actually going to add something to this Arizona bet. So I actually placed a teaser. So I saw the Cardinals were -7 and I saw the Rams were -7. I did a 6-point teaser with the Cardinals -1 and the Rams -1 to get a -120 bet. So really just money line in both of those instances right there. Cardinals, Rams, essentially money line teaser for me. Just a little nugget to add on top of that. So
it's going to be a huge teaser weekend. There are so many 6-point, the Seahawks, there's so many 7-point, 6-point favorites. That it's going to be a huge teaser weekend for NFL. I promise you that.
All right, let's get to our Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week. And as I mentioned, our goal of this is just to produce a winning bet.
I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
And this week, I'm doing NFL and college, and we've got a 7-team Moneyline Parlay. Oh, yeah, baby. That pays out plus 131. So let's go with the Ravens -800 taking on the Bengals. We've got the 49ers -375 taking on the Dolphins. This of all of the games gives me the biggest discomfort, because I don't exactly like what I'm seeing out of the 49ers, but they're coming off a loss at home, and I believe they are just a better team than Miami. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be taking this spread. I just believe that the 49ers organization as a whole in this spot will find a way to beat Miami. Then give me the Saints -375 in prime time, taking on the Chargers. Once again, I just think they find a way to win over a rookie quarterback in prime time. After that, give me BYU -10,000 taking on UTSA. Why are we doing this? Adds a few pennies to what we're doing, and I get to follow BYU a little bit. Give me Alabama -1,600 taking on Ole Miss. Quick little nugget about that game. That's going to be in the potential hurricane zone. So follow that game in terms of the total. I know the total went from 74.5. It's down to 70.5. Nonetheless, there's going to be tons of scoring in that game, or there should be. Up next, LSU -2,000 taking on Missouri. Missouri's terrible. We got Auburn -750 taking on Arkansas. Arkansas coming off an upset win. Auburn coming off a terrible loss to Georgia. I like that spot for them. I know that was a lot, but we wanted to get to the plus money, plus have some fun in the process.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I actually had two of the ones you already mentioned, Ravens and Saints. I think those are as safe as can be. I was looking up the board, like, where's my third going to come from? Because I think like as I mentioned, there's a lot of teasers this weekend. When that happens, you know some of these games are going to lose. Like some of, there's no way the books are going to get beat up on every single one of these 7-point favorites winning by a field goal or over 7 points. So I threw in the Chiefs. And then I didn't know we could do college, but I did like some of your college picks there. I think BYU would probably be the safest. I mean, if you throw that in, you'll probably get close to even money with those four teams. But BYU this year is unbelievably good. That Zach Wilson quarterback, some his NFL draft prospects are going up, but that's as easy as can be. And I did like some of your college takes there, though. I like the Bama because Nick Saban beats up on his assistants. He hasn't lost to one of his assistants yet. And Lane Kiffin's going to feel some of that punishment, I think, coming up this week as well.
By the way, I looked at the totals of Ole Miss because even at the number of 70 and a half, I was like, oh, maybe I'll take the under, except for the fact that Ole Miss is giving up like 100 points a game. Like their scores are like 80 and 90 point totals. So you're like, all right, Alabama could easily put up 50 and then a garbage 21 from Ole Miss. As you mentioned about the teasers and stuff, the reason I went to college is I did not feel comfortable in some of the other 7-point favorite type games here. So looking at this, the Chiefs-Raiders game is off the board in a lot of different places, but Cowboys minus 10. Do I have any comfort in them? 0% whatsoever. Seahawks minus 7 versus the Vikings. I actually am looking as the Vikings as an undervalued team. I don't want to bet against Russ, and I can see a scenario where the Vikings win this game and then everyone says, well, did we miss something or did we just jump the shark on the Vikings right there? Looking at some other games, Steelers-Eagles. As someone who's a Steelers fan, the thing that concerns me about this game is actually the bye week. You see every reason why the Steelers should win this game, but it's also a lack of momentum. Do they start slow? The Eagles are a team that, what if the Eagles did win this game? Then they're like, did Carson Wentz all of a sudden figure this out? Rams, I don't know if I exactly trust them on the road, even though I threw them in a teaser. Arizona, do I exactly trust them based on everything that I'm seeing? So that was sort of my mindset around why I threw some college in, because I agree with you. I think we might see some opportunities for some of these other teams.
No, I completely agree. I think two of those games you went over, the underdog is probably going to win outright. Like the Vikings, the Seahawks defensive deficiency, or I bet against the Seahawks so many times this season because the numbers tell me to, or my numbers that I'm looking at tell me to. And Russell Wilson, he's playing an MVP. He's throwing touchdowns late to cover spreads, but their defense is nowhere near an undefeated juggernaut. I do. The Vikings could easily win that game. And as you mentioned, the Eagles, the Steelers, those games are all pretty scary. And I'm saying like probably two of those teams will lose outright and these teasers will lose. So I like how you went to college on those. Probably a lot safer.
Were there any games or thoughts you had on any of these slates here as we wrap this thing up in sort of a round robin way? Did you have any general thoughts of, hey, I'm looking at this or I'm noticing this or a thought on a team?
So as I mentioned in the beginning, I do like that Colts Browns under. I think it's a little inflated as all the totals are a little inflated this week, but that Colts defense, I know it ranks, everyone knows it ranks number one in a lot of categories this season, but I don't think a lot of people have seen them play. And I think they're just going to shut down that Browns offense. They scored a ton, trick plays, fluke plays against Dallas. Dallas has zero defense, so I think that's a little inflated. And then the Browns have a pretty solid defense as well. And it's not like Phillip Rivers has been lighting up the scoreboard. If there is an under to play, maybe a first half under, I'm probably going to be on that first half under. But take a look at that game, Browns-Colts under. I think that's where we're going.
And I think one team for me to pay attention to is the Bengals, 3-1 against the spread against Joe Burrow, taking on the Ravens. Do we really believe they're in even similar stratospheres? So at 13.5, there is an opportunity for the Ravens to turn this into a blowout. Of course, we can fall in love with the narrative of Joe Burrow. But remember, he is still a rookie, and we talked about it at the beginning, the regression to the mean. Right now, arrows pointing way up on the Bengals. And anytime I see a team way up or way down, I'm going to do the opposite. So that is a game that I haven't put on my card yet, but I would be looking to see, because this number's actually gone down. I'm seeing the Ravens at 12.5 in some spots.
I think you're going to have to pop it just because like the Ravens last week too, in the Circa and Super Contest, they were 12.5. They got pumped up by Sunday to 14.5 and ended right on 14. I actually had a really big bet on the first half. I love that Ravens team this year. They kill really bad teams. They're very efficient against bad teams. And against good teams like the Patriots and the Chiefs, they kind of struggle. But I think it's a good time to sell on Joe Burrow and that Bengals team. I would probably jump on it before it hits 13 again, though. But the Ravens, and they're defensive. They're really good defensively, too. I'd jump on that early now.
Sean, really enjoyed jamming with you about the world of football and betting. Where can everybody connect with you?
Thanks for having me on, Rob. Everyone can find me on Twitter at DaRealPapaBear, DaRealPapaBear. Gambling every day. I'm just another sports bettor. Can always interact. If you have any questions, just feel free to reach out.
And I want to hear from you. What is on your NFL Week 5 card? Do you have a pick a loser, Big Mick Moneyline Parlay of the Week, or an uncomfortable bet? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And what I really enjoy is when you listen to this podcast, if you tag Sean and I with your bets and your thoughts on this, good or bad, we don't need you to agree with us. As you saw, Sean was on the opposite end of I on the Texans game. We just love the community aspect. We love jamming. We love part of the sports betting culture. So hit us up on Twitter. Let us know how you're getting down because we want to celebrate one way or another. And one thing that you can do, if you dig this show, if you like the information that we give, jump on iTunes and throw us a bone. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Be candid about it. Hey, what do you think? If you like the show, help us out. It allows us to bring other people into the community. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. What's wrong with it? The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.